Number two, show him how. And you show him how. You don't tell him how. Tell him why. Show him how. A good way to show a man how to have a quiet time is to have one with him. See? But first of all, you need to be having one. Then you have one with him. And so he'll pick up that burden as he draws along close to you. And maybe for a long time. Maybe he's been a Christian 5 or 6 years. I don't know. He's wanted that. But no one has ever taken the initiative to get next to him to help him get it. Three, get him started. Once he knows why, once he does it with you, you let him do it on, let him do it on his own. This is the same way as laying bricks. God needs to know why, and he'd be laid straight. Then it'll fall over. You know? I may be dumb, but here I'm stupid. You know? So you tell him, and, oh, listen. Don't ever, ever take anything for granted. See, we take people for granted. Well, man, he's been coming to the group for 6 months, and he brings his Bible every time. He may be living in sin, too. He may be totally defeated and discouraged. And he's learned to put on a front just like everybody else has. Don't ever take him for granted. But get next to him, share your heart with him, and get to know him so you can help him. Tell him why, show him how, get him started. Number four, keep him going. And you keep him going by maybe going back and doing it with him again. You might want to call that one checkup. Checkup sounded kind of legalistic, so I kind of like just keep him going. It's kind of more, it's a little more positive. You know? And number five is get him to pass it on. Get him to help someone else do the same thing. Tell him why, show him how, get him started, keep him going, and get him to pass it on. And it may take time, it may take just a little bit of time to tell him why. Show him how, you might want to do this over a period of time. If it's witnessing, the guy wants to learn how to witness. Man, there's a lot of aspects of this, see. There's a lot of preparation you need to do. But he doesn't even wait. You have any witness just the fact that he's a Christian. He can do that. So tell him why, show him how, doing it with him, giving him the opportunity to begin to enter in to the point to where he can do it, you know it, and then let him. And he will be doing it probably because he's got the heart for it. He just needs someone who's concerned enough and loves him enough to help him do it. See, basically, these things are very simple. So you know this. Very simple. But I need to be reminded of this again and again. I'll tell you why. Over there where we are, it's so easy, see, to get guys together in a group, and okay, we go out and witness on Friday night or Monday night, so we get 12, 15 guys together and want to pair off to go out and witness. And I don't know if that guy, and we just do this, and I'm not sure he's learning anything. And he might not be learning anything. But that's not the best way. God bless it anyway. I don't think that God wants us to continue to make the same mistakes again and again and again. And I think that the Lord wants us to know the state of the flock and the condition of the sheep. Jesus said, I know my sheep and am known of mine, John 10:4. He said, I know them. And if you're going to know a man, you've got to spend time with him. You've you got to do things willing. You need to win his heart. Where this one fellow, Don Wheat, lifted weights with him for 6 months. And when he came to Christ, he was, the follow-up was already built in. He'd already established a relationship with him. Because he loved him. He was concerned enough about what he was interested in.
Two of the, what I call, methods or tools that are used are the Word of God and love. See, if a man knows that you love him, you've sought him out, you're really concerned. He may be interested in other things, but he knows that. And he'll come to you when the chips are down, too. If a man knows that you love him, and it's not something that you put on, if he knows that you love him, you kick him in the teeth and he'll thank you for it, figuratively. Is that right? You bet he will. Now you can say you love somebody, but that's not, doesn't prove anything. A love relationship and the Word of God. Let what you do be done on the basis of the Word of God as far as teaching and direction and counsel and correction. Word of God and love. And the last thing I'd like to talk about is that I think that with a guy, you should know where you're going. I call it that. You should have some kind of an idea. Okay, I'm going to meet with this guy. What am I going to do with him? Say he's a new guy that's come here. He might not be a Christian, and maybe you went into the Lord, you become a Christian, you win his heart, and he becomes a Christian as a result of a testimony or whatever, or he's already a Christian, and you want to help him. What do you do? Where do you put him? Church. That's the easy way out. I need to go to church. Definitely not. Yeah, I think somewhere along the line we got the idea that if this guy to go to church, everything's gonna be all right. But it's not going to be all right if he starts going to church. Because that's not the whole story. Maybe he's been doing that for 10 years. And he's still defeated. He wants victory. So maybe there are glaring problems that need to be dealt with. And in relation to that, I'd say, don't let all that you do be problem-centered. Don't let all that you do be problem-centered. Because you'll find that all you do is go around solving problems and dealing with symptoms instead of the real issues. You'll be cutting the grass off and never getting to the root. But what I'm talking about here is that you should have some kind of a plan of direction that you're not bound to, but you have some things that you want to constructively help this man with. mention a few. I'd like you to share with me. I know you know. But as I mentioned, maybe we can write them down. And we can learn something here from each other. Maybe you're already going over there. Let's review it. What are some of the basic things in beginning and helping a young babe, maybe you've known the Lord for years, maybe you've just become a Christian, that you would want to help him with? That you'd want to sit down eyeball to eyeball, open the scriptures with, and help him learn. Maybe he needs to know why. Maybe he just needs to, first of all, see that it's in the scriptures. What's one of the first things? Anyway. Okay, that he's really saved. Okay, let's take a couple of things on that one, just a minute. No, let's go on. Let's mention about 10. We're going to come back. I'll get sidetracked. I'll get sidetracked. Okay. Anybody else? That he's really saved. Getting to know God. Could I ask a question on that? I know what you're talking about, and I'm with you. And how would you present that? Would you be... okay, just put that down. Pray. Okay, good. Teach him to pray. See, so and once he sees God answer your prayers, it's exciting. Isn't it? See, now all of these, I'll say this, you can question the matter of priority of these things, or the degree to which you work with a man in them. And it will depend on the man again. Okay, another one. Bible study. Just become a Christian and he's delivered. He's delivered from sin and the life in Christ and all. Okay, man, if you're in my scripture, we'll study the Bible and we'll get up at 5:30 in the morning, we'll pray. You're delivered from that. What are you talking about? See? We'll get some thought to that. Okay, another one. Just delivered from religion. Huh? Witnessing? Witness? Okay. Okay, a couple more. I think real important at the beginning.
How about fellowship with other Christians?
Fellowship with other Christians. A good one. See, I think now we're talking about here again, Mike. We're talking about
a young babe. Yeah, I know, before you begin to follow the Lord and employ, you know, half a day of the Lord, a day of the Lord, but a young babe can't take that. See, well, over there, we take one day a month or one day every 6 weeks, and we go out and spend the Friday night and spend the whole day Saturday. And but we only invite certain guys, because others, it's too much. Really. They wouldn't know what to do that much time. Okay? Okay, so just you were just on a friendship basis.
Well, yeah, also on a friendship basis. Show that you care for him in other areas besides just his spiritual growth, too, that you're concerned with his problems. So, like I said, don't get bogged down with his problems.
But his non, his end quote, non spiritual activities. If he likes to lift weights, well, you know, you'll feel something too.
Just don't come over once a week to see how he's doing spiritually or something like this.
Very important. Very good.
The one you got the devil,
very good. I praise that. That's pretty high. The devil and temptation. So the enemy and temptation, okay?
Patience.
I kind of think of this one in relation to the fact of sharing with him somewhere in the beginning stages, if it's no more than a seed thought, that God's desire for him is maturity. Okay. If it's no more than a seed thought, this relates to his life. That I said, okay, I've become a Christian, well, I've got that taken care of, see. But that God's desire for him is purity. And let him return him to the Lord. How to meditate. God's not just interested in what he'll become, but in what he is right now. You know? Okay. One I think is really important, and especially at a beginning stage, is that a man understand confession and forgiveness. He knows what it means to be forgiven. The temptation and over here we've mentioned before. And he knows what it means. I have talked to many, many guys who are this thing is really a crucial one. Oh, I've become a Christian, I've done this, or I've got involved in this, so now, you know. so I can never be good. Okay, did you get all those down? Did everybody get all those down? Let's not start on it. Now I'd like you to take those, not now, but I'd like you to take those and arrange them in what you feel their priority should be. Are there any more do you think that should be mentioned there? Okay?
I need to teach you how to apply them. How you let them know about it by showing them to the
mm-hmm. And again, see, that gets back to the life again. You know, the Christian life is something that you can only really share with a man what you are and your relationship. You can tell them theory, but it doesn't mean much without the life to back it up, does it?
How about an introduction to discipline?
I've known a lot longer. Can I get them to enter real commitment?
Submission. Discipline. See, if Max asks you to do something, and you tell him, and he didn't know, down in his heart, he can't know whether or not, well, it might get done, it might not. Well, there's some problems there. But the Bible does say, a faithful man who can find. Are you with me on that? Do you see what I'm talking about? And it's really commitment. Back to what we were talking about before here. That if I'm really committed, and this is a burning desire of my heart and my life to know the Lord and do His will, and God has placed me at this time to work in relation to Max and to work here and to be in submission to Him and learn from Him. And Max asked me to do something, I say, well, man, that's not, you know, and don't ever mess around there, get done. That's disobedience. And that's sin. If I got a heart problem, though, I'd like to go get together with Max and work it out. But I think the Bible on that has a lot to say concerning commitment and submission.
Don't you have a problem with a guy that was the very first about priorities, him being really convinced and studying the Bible, that he might think he needs the time to study the book, and he needs to be really convinced that it's worthwhile.
Huh? But it'll be worthwhile if you're sharing with him, if you're not just sharing with him, okay, Jack, you memorize, I mean, you read the Bible, and I'm telling him to do this, I'm telling him to do this, I'm telling him to do this, but I don't sit down and read it with him and share and fellowship in the Word together. So we have something from the Scriptures, and God is feeding us from the Scriptures. See, once a man experiences that from the Spirit of God, he'll never be satisfied again without it. And then he'll begin to evaluate that in light of the other thing that is involved in it. If it's studies while you're in college, or if it's a business and responsibility for the family and the children, or whatever I'm doing. See, I will evaluate this, and once I know my objectives, then I can work my schedule. But if I don't know where I'm going, I can't set up a schedule.
Danger along the way. I come on, set racing, and yet, prayer.
I know one thing. I experienced it with a fellow Stillwater, and I've never forgotten this one. This guy became a Christian, and I wanted to help him, and he wanted help. If I mention his name, some of you might know who he is. But he came over, and he was hungry. So we're going to get on about half an hour together. It was an hour and a half later, an hour and 45 minutes later, he left. We finally got around. But I told him half an hour. Start with. Well, he got other responsibilities. He got his studies and things to take care of and this and that and the other. Next time, next week, when we get together, he thinks, oh, yeah, I only had 2 hours. I got too much to do. I don't have that much time to spare. So he didn't come. I really feel that if we would be more consistent with a shorter amount of time and make it count, that men would be more available at the beginning stages. Now again, you want prayer and discernment because it will depend on the man. But this man was not, I say he was hungry, he was receptive at that point, and he wasn't, and there were areas uncommitted. But like the man the Mac was talking about, you want to pray about some areas when you face a man with them, as far as his being ready to face them or not, right? Because if he's interested in the gals and this and the other, pray. And then at the right time, you face him with them. But again, see, open rebuke is better than secret love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. And if I can say I love this guy, but if I'm not faithful to him, I don't love him. I can say I love my children, but if I'm not faithful to them, I don't love them. The lip service means nothing. See? Let me share a few more things and we will move on. You might want to write these down. These are some things I feel are important. One and a number of them were mentioned. But I'd say contact him. If he makes a decision, I'd say contact him the next day. Don't let the grass grow. And get back and review what was covered in just a few days, just the day before, the night before. But get back and establish that contact and relationship with him. And review. Don't take for granted that he understood the gospel the first time. He may have committed his heart to Christ, and Christ may have come into his life, but he needs to hear it again. Go over it again and get him to share it with you. And review with him what was covered. And as soon as possible, prayer was mentioned. And sharing the word together. And I'd say in initial stages, it's a sharing of the word and fellowshipping in Christ and not getting him to do things. Because what he needs most of all is to be drawn to the person of Christ and experience his life and his fellowship. It's his biggest need. That's your biggest need, my biggest need, isn't it? Oh, I'm getting 3 a week and I'm reading 3 chapters a day where you already have fellowship with Christ. Winning his friendship. Get him involved with the gang as soon as possible. The fellowship, let him meet some more Christians that are fanatic. So he won't think, I've experienced this. Guys that, they think I'm an idiot. They're probably right. But when they meet some more idiots and find out that they're not as bad as, it really helps. But they don't feel it, that they're getting involved with something that's oddball. It's contrary to the world. But they need to meet and to get in with a fellowship as soon as possible. And again, don't give him too much that you choke him. Well, these are just some thoughts that I have in relation to follow-up and getting a person started. And I know you've learned some things yourself, And if these guys come into school this fall or some around now that need someone to personally take hold of them, bird dog them, get a hold of them. And if you don't have that kind of a heart, you read John 17 and pray over it. You find out what's on Jesus' heart. Jesus died for people. He died for men. And that's what's on his heart. And you see a man who is seeking out men, you know what's on his heart. Let's thank the Lord. Father, we do thank you tonight for the fact that you are far more concerned than we could ever be. And we confess that there are other things that would draw our interest and we would easily be wrapped up in. Father, I pray that you, by your Spirit, would search us regarding these. And let us see the reality of what is most important. In Jesus' name, amen. I'll share one verse with you. I shared this with a couple of you when I was here before, and then, this verse is a kind of a verse that really gets a hold of me. It's been a challenge to me ever since I read it a number of years ago. 1 Thessalonians 2, verses 19 and 20. It says, "For what is our hope, our joy, our crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ that is coming? For ye are our glory and joy." And remember that it's men that will stand before God for all eternity. And Paul said to the Thessalonians, he said, "You are our glory and joy." For men, what's on your heart?